وقال الرسول and the messenger will say on that day, يا ربي إن قومي اتخذوا هذا القرآن مهجورا. Oh my Lord, indeed my people deserted this Quran, neglected this Quran. If you've ever seen a house that no one has lived in for several years, and you look at it and the windows are broken and it's shabby and the paint has crumbled off, and you look at the house, you can't even imagine that there was a time when people lived in that house. Or like sometimes say, oh, that child is so neglected. He's always dirty. He's always wearing dirty clothes. His face is dirty. No one's taking care of him. How do we neglect this Quran? We don't neglect this Quran, do we? No, no, we cover it in our best silken coverings. We put it on our highest shelf. We kiss it daily. We read it once every Ramzan and oh, we love the Quran. Quran Kareem. Ameena Silmi came to Pakistan and she was asked, what do you think of the Pakistani women and their relationship with the Quran? And she said, for them it's magic words. They read it if someone's sick, they read it if someone's dying, they read it if someone's having a baby. Quran Kareem, Quran Kareem. They're kissing the Quran, putting it on their highest shelves, covering it in silk and velvet. But it's not in their hearts. Do we know what's in the Quran? We recite it, we tell our children, we get a Maulvi Saab and they teach our children to recite the Quran. And once they finish the Quran, we have a grand Ameen and they've done their duty by the Quran, haven't they? Allah says that the messenger will say, and the words are so forlorn, that, oh my Lord, indeed my people neglected this Quran. They deserted it. They didn't value it. They didn't appreciate it. They didn't study it. They didn't contemplate it. They did not act upon it. And they certainly did not convey it. They made it into something deserted and neglected. What have we done to the Quran? That's exactly what we've done to the Quran today. So on that day then, we should not expect the Quran to intercede for us. Because the Prophet ﷺ warned us, Al-Quranu hujjatun lak aw alayk. The Quran will either argue for you or against you. If we fulfilled our duty of the Quran, what is the Quran's duty upon us? That we recite it in Arabic. That we read it with understanding, as we're trying to do these days. That we contemplate its deeper meanings. Not that we say, oh, I know what's in the Quran, don't come preaching to me. That we contemplate its meanings. For the Quran has such an ocean of depth that every time you open the Quran, it's like you're reading it for the first time. We need to read it with awe, with love, with contemplation, and we need to act upon it. Knowledge without action is useless. Otherwise we become, as Allah tells us in the Quran, that the Jews are like donkeys carrying upon their backs loads of books. So if I've memorized the whole Quran, and if I know every ayat's reference and I can tell you the origin behind every ayat, but I'm not acting upon it, then I'm simply like a donkey who's carrying upon its back a heavy book without knowing what's in it. The Quran has come, so we act upon it. And then we need to convey it. Are we fulfilling these duties? Are we fulfilling even one of these duties? If we're not, then we have neglected this Quran. Thus have we made for every prophet an enemy among the criminals. But sufficient is your Lord as a guide and helper. And those who disbelieve say, why is not the Quran revealed to him all at once? Thus it is sent down in parts, that we may strengthen your heart thereby. The Quran was revealed over a period of 23 years, and you find in some verses that when a particular occasion would take place, that's when the Quran would be revealed. And we have revealed it to you gradually in stages. No example do they bring, but we reveal to you the truth and the better explanation thereof. Those who will be gathered to hell, prone on their faces, such will be in an evil state and most astray from the straight path. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابِ. And indeed we gave Musa the scripture and placed his brother Harun with him as a helper. And we said, both of you go to the people who have denied our signs. Then we destroyed the people with utter destruction. And Nuh's people, when they denied the messengers, we drowned them and we made them as a sign for mankind. And we have prepared a painful torment for the wrongdoers. And also Ad and Thamud and the dwellers of Arras and many generations in between. And for each of them we put forward examples. And each of them we brought to utter ruin. And indeed they have passed by the town on which was rained the evil rain. This is the town of Prophet Lut alayhi salam. Did they then not see it? No, but they used not to expect any resurrection. And when they see you, they treat you only in mockery, saying, is this the one whom Allah has sent us a messenger? He would nearly have misled us from our gods had it not been that we were patient and constant in their worship. And they will know when they see the torment who it is that is most astray from the right path. People used to mock the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and say, just look at this man trying to mislead us from the path of our ancestors. أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا. Have you seen him who has taken his desires as his God? Please highlight this ayat. People say, we don't do shirk. We worship Allah, la ilaha illallah. If we are saying la ilaha illallah and following our own desires and doing whatever we wish to do, then we have made our own nafs into a god. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us that the worst false god which is followed on earth is man's own nafs. Allah says, have you seen him who has taken his desires as his own god? If I feel like praying, I'll pray. And if I feel like sleeping, I'll sleep. And if I feel like fasting, I'll fast. And if I feel like eating, I'll eat. No moderation. No consideration of what Allah wants, whatever I feel like doing. I'm going to do what I'm comfortable with. I'm not ready for hijab, so that's not even an option as yet. Have you seen him who has taken his desires as his God? Would you then be a disposer of his affairs over him? Why do we do this? Oh, the Prophet will intercede for us. Run to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he'll appeal on our behalf and we'll all go to Jannah. Allah is saying, will you intercede for such a person who's following his own desires, who's not following Allah? And the answer is no. Intercession is in Allah's hands. And if we have displeased Allah, there is no way in the heavens or earth that Allah will allow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to intercede for us. Or do you think that most of them hear or understand? In whom illa kal an'am, they are like cattle. Bal hum adallu sabila, in fact they are even further astray than the cattle from the path. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, people who listen to the Quran but don't act upon it, people who hear the Quran, who study the Quran but cannot start implementing it in their lives, they are like cattle. Elsewhere in the Quran, Allah says, they have hearts wherewith they understand not. They have eyes wherewith they see not. And they have ears wherewith they hear not. They're listening, but they can't process it. They can't internalize it. They can't absorb it. It's not making sense to them. It sounds boring. It sounds dreary, like a burden. They see the Quran before them, but they're not processing the truth. They're not being able to act upon it. This is spiritual blindness. In whom illa kal an'am, they are like cattle. What are the pursuits of cattle, of animals? They just eat and they drink, and then at the end of the day they die. Is that what our lives are about? That we're eating, we're drinking, we're raising our children, and that's all that our dreams, that our ambitions are focusing on? Have you not seen how your Lord spread the shadow? See, the mu'min is not supposed to be simply one who's just sitting on the prayer mat all day long. No, the mu'min is one who observes the signs in the universe. Have you not seen how your Lord spread the shadow? If he willed, he could have made it still. But we have made the sun its guide. Then we withdraw it to us, a gradual withdrawal. And it is he who makes the night a covering for you, and the sleep as a repose. And he makes the day for getting up. And it is he who sends the winds as heralds of glad tidings, going before his mercy. And we send down pure water from the sky, that we may give life thereby to a dead land, and we give to drink thereof many of the cattle and men that we had created, and indeed we have distributed it amongst them, in order that they may remember, that they may take heed. We take all the blessings we've been given for granted. We take our parents for granted, we take our wealth for granted, the oxygen that we breathe, the sun, the moon, the stars. Oh yes, they've all been created to serve us. Do we think about serving the one who created them for us? No, we never think of that. But most men, most people accept nothing but disbelief and ingratitude. Because kufr is ingratitude. It's refusing to obey the one who's given us everything. And Allah says, had we willed, we would have raised a warner in every town People say, why wasn't a prophet sent to us in these days? See, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent for the rest of mankind. And that's why we have his enduring message, his enduring legacy in this Quran. فَلَا تُطِعِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Do not obey the disbelievers. Who are the disbelievers? Either those who reject Allah through their words, or those who reject Allah through their actions. وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. And strive against them with the utmost endeavor with it. What jihad is this? That we should all take up swords and start fighting against them? No. This jihad is the jihad of the Quran. Allah is saying, use this Quran in order to make them understand. See, that is the best form of jihad. We find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us, giving us a weapon whereby we can convey this message to people. We say, how can we tell people? Allah is saying, use this Quran. Elsewhere in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also asks us, it is not right for the believers that all of them should go off to battle. We have a limited concept of jihad, that men going off and fighting. Rather, from every troop of them, some of them should remain in order that they should gain understanding of deen. Some of us should dedicate our lives to understanding Islam, to conveying Islam. Then they should warn their people when they return to them so that they can beware of evil. Jahidhum bihi jihadan kabira. Use your wealth for this Quran, for, you know, promoting these gatherings of knowledge. Use your time for this Quran. Spend your time in studying it, understanding it, acting upon it. Spend your time, your energies in conveying it. What are the rewards for doing this? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said, whoever proceeds upon a path by which he seeks knowledge, then Allah will make easy for him a path to Jannah. And no people gather in one of the houses of the houses of Allah, reciting the book of Allah and studying it amongst themselves, except that tranquility descends upon them and mercy covers them and the angels surround them and Allah mentions them to those in His presence. These are the rewards for jihad fi sabilillah through this Quran. Jahidhum bihi jihadan kabira. We read the Quran once in Ramzan, or we read the Quran once again, we think we've done our duty. Oh yes, I've read the Quran many times. I've read the translation 18 times. Jahidhum bihi jihadan kabira. An amazing jihad. All your time, all your efforts, all your talents, your energies. If you have a skill for writing, then write about the Quran after studying. If you have a talent for teaching, then teach the Quran after learning. If you have a talent for doing research, then do research upon the Quran. Jihadan kabira. And it is Allah who has let free the two seas. One is palatable and sweet, and one is salty and bitter. And He has set a barrier and a complete partition between them. And we see examples of this in Azad Kashmir as well as in other places. And it is Allah who has created man from water and has appointed for him kindred by blood and kindred by marriage. And your Lord is ever all-powerful to do what He wills. And they worship besides Allah that which can neither profit them nor harm them. Again and again Allah repeats that after all these blessings that only Allah has created from them, still they turn away. And the disbeliever is ever a helper of shaitan against his Lord. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا مُبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا. We have sent you only as a bearer of glad tidings and as a warner. The dual mission, the dual purpose of Islam, to give those who obey Allah good news and those who want to go on disobeying bad news. Tell them, no reward do I ask of you for this, save that whosoever wills may take a path to his Lord. This is the purpose of the Muballigh. This should be our jihad through the Quran. What? Only connect to Allah. And that is the focal point of this Quran. Connect people to Allah. And then they'll figure it out for themselves. Does it seem difficult? وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ. Put your trust in the ever-living one who does not die, and glorify His praises, and sufficient is He. As the all-knower of the sins of His slaves. People say it's so difficult. Society has gone too far. My friends will never listen to me, so what's the point of trying? Allah says, just convey the message. Connect them to Allah, and Allah will do the rest. Who created the heavens and the earth, and all that is between them in 6 days? Then he rose over the throne, Ar-Rahman, the most gracious. Ask him, the all-knower of everything. And when it is said to them, prostrate yourselves to Ar-Rahman before the most gracious, they say, and what is the most gracious? Shall we fall down in prostration to that which you command us? And it increases in them only aversion. Blessed be he who has placed in the heaven big stars and has placed therein a great lamp and a moon giving light. And it is Allah who has put the night and the day in succession for such who desires to remember, aw arada shukura, or desires to show his gratitude. People say, oh, Allah knows how much I love him. How do we truly show our gratitude? By obeying Allah. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. The slaves of Ar-Rahman are those who walk on the earth in humility. And when the ignorant address them, they reply, peace. Now who are these عِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ? Surely we're all slaves of Allah. These are special people. People who have attained a special degree of closeness with Allah. Why? Because of their actions. They walk on the earth in humility. They don't walk arrogantly. They don't walk around like know-it-alls and we are the pious do-gooders and we know everything. We're going to Jannah and everyone else is going to hell. They walk on the earth in humility. They use the earth's resources with humility. And when the ignorant people address them, قَالُوا سَلَامًا. They don't stoop to their level. They don't start bickering or fighting with them or saying, well, we know more than you do. قَالُوا سَلَامًا. They say, peace be on you. They don't get involved in foolish arguments. Now, what is our attitude these days? People love to boast. I really shut him up, didn't I? That's not the attitude of عِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ. Their purpose is not to shut people up or to prove to people how intelligent they are or how superior they are. قَالُوا سَلَامًا. They simply reply, peace. They spend the night بِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا in worship of their Lord, prostrate and standing. Now these are very special people. They're not just doing the minimum level of ibadah, they've reached the maximum level of ibadah, the level of ihsan. They're reading tahajjud. Why is tahajjud so important? In Surah Muzammil, Allah tells us, إِنَّ نَاشِئَةَ اللَّيْلِ هِيَ أَشَدُّ وَطْأً وَأَقْوَمُ قِيلًا. The middle of the night is the best time for trampling your nafs. You want to control your nafs? You want to gain closeness to Allah? Then read tahajjud. They spend the night in worship of their Lord, prostrate and standing. What is the dua? وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اصْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمْ إِنَّ عَذَابَهَا كَانَ غَرَامًا إِنَّهَا سَاءَتْ مُسْتَقَرًّا وَمُقَامًا. They say, O our Lord, avert from us the torment of hell. When do we get up for tahajjud? Are we going through financial problems? So the whole family should read tahajjud. I'm not having a child, so I'll read tahajjud. And if I don't get my dua, then I'll stop reading tahajjud. What dua are they praying for? They're not praying for the world. They're not even praying for Jannah. I mean, people like this, you think they'd assume that they're going to Jannatul Firdaus. Look at their humility. Their fear of Allah, they have saying, O our Lord, avert from us the torment of hell. Indeed, its torment is an inseparable, a permanent punishment. Evil indeed is it, as an abode and as a place to rest in. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا. Now after Allah gives us an insight into their private lives, Allah tells us about their daily lives. Those who when they spend are neither extravagant, nor stingy, but hold a moderate way between those two extremes. What is extravagance? We need to know that to spend even a small amount of money on something which is haram is extravagance. To spend more than you can afford on something halal is extravagance. To spend but for people's sake, to give a sadaqah so people admire you, is also extravagance. And Allah says, neither are they extravagant nor stingy. Like some people, their children will be wearing designer shoes, designer bags, and they never have enough money for sadaqah. Oh, I'd love to give, but I don't have enough. Maybe next month I'll be able to take out some money. Allah says, they're not stingy. We've read the rewards of spending in the path of Allah, and especially in this Ramzan. وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. They're moderate between this. Neither do they give all their money away for sadaqah, nor do they refuse to give a single penny for sadaqah. And those who do not call upon any other god along with Allah. Sometimes we find people who are doing all these actions and yet they call to peace, or they pray to buzzards, or they pray to dead people who have passed away. No shirk. وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسِ. They do not kill anyone, such as Allah has forbidden. We can't just say, well, because I'm fulfilling Allah's rights, then I can do what I like with the rest of mankind. Hukukullah and hukukul ibad go together. The rights of Allah and the rights of people. Nor kill someone, such as Allah has forbidden, except for just cause. Nor do they commit adultery. In other words, this person is leading a moderate life, fulfilling everyone's rights upon him. And whoever does this, in other words, whoever does shirk or kills someone or does zina, adultery, he shall receive the punishment. The torment will be doubled to him on the day of judgment, and he will abide there in disgrace. Illa man taba, except those who repent and who believe and do good deeds, for those Allah will change their sins into good deeds. Now we do tawbah all the time too, don't we? But that's not the tawbah that's being spoken of here. Tawbah means that your iman increases. Tawbah means you cleanse yourself, you stop that sin, you seek Allah's forgiveness, and then you try and do good deeds to cancel out that sin. That's tawbah. Except those who repent and believe. Because when we do shirk, when we commit murder, when we commit adultery, then we're not in a state of iman at that time. So Allah says, if you want to cancel out those actions, you need to develop your iman. And you need to do good deeds. We think that one istighfar we've said and that's it, we are forgiven. No, Allah says, then they do good deeds. They try and cancel out the sins. For such, Allah will change their sins into good deeds. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. And Allah is forgiving, most merciful. Three such grave crimes, shirk, murder, adultery. We say, oh, it's too late, I've done too many sins, Allah won't forgive me now. And Allah is saying, if you do sincere tawbah, I will forgive you sins even of this gravity. وَمَنْ تَابَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَإِنَّهُ يَتُوبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَتَابًا. And whoever repents and does good deeds, then indeed he repents towards Allah with true repentance. Not that you're boasting about your sins. Oh, I've had a really wild youth. No, you're not supposed to feel nostalgic about your sins, because that means you're not sorry for them. And those who do not bear witness to falsehood in all aspects of their lives, truth is an integral part of their character, in their speech, in their actions, in their friends, and in their pacts with Allah. What is the greatest truth that we need to prove? La ilaha illallah. Those who do not bear witness to falsehood, not that they're praying and going for umrah and hajj and they're cheating in their business life. وَإِذَا مَرُّ بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّ كِرَامًا. And when they pass by love, they pass it by with dignity. When they see something foolish, they see something trivial, something unnecessary going on, they pass it by with dignity. Not that they start stoning that person who's doing that. Or that they sit down and say, well, let me unwind or relax for a little while. They pass it by with dignity. As if you were to see a rubbish heap, you wouldn't stop and start looking at it, you just pass by. And those who, when they are reminded of the signs of their Lord, they do not fall deaf and blind thereat. When they're told what's in the Quran, they don't say, well, we know what's in the Quran, don't preach to us. They absorb what they hear in the Quran. وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Look at their second dua. Their first dua was salvation from hell. What's their second dua? O our Lord, bestow on us from our maids and our offspring the comfort of our eyes. They pray for the dunya as well. But what is the conclusion of their dua? وَجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Make us leaders. World leaders? Leaders in our jobs? Bosses of our multinationals? No. Leaders of the Allah conscious. Their ambitions are spiritual. See, we find that these were the yearnings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's companions. We find on one occasion a man just about to take part in the battle. He was eating dates and he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if I fight and if I die, will I enter Jannah? And the Prophet said, yes. And he flung away that handful of dates. You and I would have said, let me just finish this verse and I'll think about it. And he raced forward into the midst of battle. He was martyred. On another occasion, we find a companion, Hazrat Hanzala. He was getting married that day. So he asked the Prophet ﷺ, should I postpone my wedding till after the battle? And the Prophet said, no, you can spend your wedding night and join us in the morning. And when he was about to leave his wife, she had a dream, she had some inkling that something was going to happen. So she started crying. So he comforted her. And then he rushed out because he didn't want to get late. And when he took part in the battle, he was martyred. His wife came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and she said, O Messenger of Allah, he was in a state of ritual impurity. He hadn't even time to do ghusl. And he said, do you know, the angels did his ghusl. And that man was called Ghaseelul Malaika, the one washed by angels. Now in our day too, we find people who have ambitions for such spiritual heights. I had a friend named Alia. And I remember on one occasion she said to me, you know what, I want to be one of the chain of scholars. I want to be one of those people whose knowledge is passed on. And I want to serve Islam. She died when she was only 23 years old. But I was telling a scholar about her. And she replied, Niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi. A mu'min's intention is even better than his deed. Sometimes at the end of the day, even if she didn't have time to do this, may Allah reward her for that niyah. We find a very beautiful story about the scholar Hazrat Abdullah bin Mubarak, that when he died, a man saw him in a dream and he asked him, how are you? And he said, Allah has been very kind to me. And there is a blacksmith over here who is at the same level that I am. And this man, when he woke up, he was amazed. And he sought that blacksmith's widow and he went to her and he said, what sort of a man was your husband? She said, he was just an ordinary man. He said, no, there must have been something special about him. She said, well, there were two things. That when he would hear the azan, he wouldn't let the hammer strike the anvil. He'd put it down. He'd go for namaz. And the other thing was, he always used to say, I wish I had knowledge such as Abdullah bin Mubarak's knowledge. Those who say, وَجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا, make us leaders of the Allah conscious. That's what our dreams should be on. Such are the sabiqoon. Such are the muhsineen. Those will be rewarded with the highest place in paradise. وَيُلَقَّوْنَ فِيهَا تَحِيَّةً وَسَلَامًا. Therein they shall be met with greetings and the word of peace. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. Living therein forever. Excellent it is as an abode and as a place to rest in. Say, my Lord pays attention to you only because of your dua to him. People say, Allah doesn't listen to my dua. What's the good of praying? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, whoever does not ask Allah, Allah is angry with him. This is the only relationship where Allah is encouraging us to ask him constantly. But now you have indeed denied him, so the torment will be yours forever.